Well, I want to welcome you to our second week of the Wiley Methodist online video worship. I'm so glad that you're here. I can't tell you what a blessing it was to sit on the couch with my wife, Cheryl, last week and to be able to worship together and know that all of you were worshiping with us as well. So we are glad that you are here. It is our honor to present this service to you. I want you to hear these words in this kind of moment of uncertainty for our city and for our nation and for our world. I want you to hear these words from God's holy word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an encouraging word for us today from God's word. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, come in every home that is listening right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in this place with us right now as we record this service. May you move, may you be active. May you bless us. And we exalt the name of Jesus. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Trevor, let's worship.
Built houses. And the passage is found in Matthew 7, 24 through 28. And so the first story that Jesus tells is about a man who built his house upon a rock. And everybody, you know, a rock is heavy and it's sturdy and it's strong. And so this man built his house on the rock. And when we build our house on a rock, which is Jesus, our lives are strong. So when the rains come and the storms of life happen, then guess what? our house stands strong, right? So we are on a firm foundation. So, and we need to trust Jesus with every part of our life. So, the second part of the story is about a man who built his house on the sand. And if you're out playing in the sand, it's fun. It just gets all crumbly and squishy, and you can pack it down and you can build sandcastles. But it doesn't stay that way. Something happens to it. But when we build our lives on whatever we want, but not Jesus, it's like building on the sand. So when the storms come in life, guess what's happened to the sand? And this house, as it goes along, it falls down because we're not trusting in Jesus. So as you look at this, we are the houses. The houses represent us. And the water that I poured over represents the thing in life that maybe we don't understand. They're really hard to understand. Things that we're going through and things that are sad. Those are our storms. But when we have our life set on Jesus, guess what? We stand strong. But when we just try to do it all on ourselves, guess what happens? It falls apart. So which life do you want to build? Do you want to build on the rock or do you want to build on the sand? Well, I want to build on the rock. So anyway, so this week, what I want you to do is I want you to go out in your yard and I want you to find a rock. And I picked up a rock and I want you to go find this rock and clean it and then get some Sharpies and write on there, Jesus is my rock, and decorate it. Okay? And then go back to the Bible in Matthew 7, 24 through 29 and read about these two men that built their house. And talk about it with your families about how we need to build our life on the rock, which is Jesus. So as you've decorated your rock, set them around your house. As you doing things and doing your schoolwork and everything, let the rock be a reminder that Jesus is our firm foundation and he is holding on to us and watching over us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you are our firm foundation, that you are our rock, and that we will be held. You are holding us and watching over us, and then when the storms come, we will not fall. We are loved by you, and you care about us, and we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you. We want to recite the Apostles' Creed this morning, and just like last week, I encourage you to verbalize that. Well, there's something powerful, as I said last week, about confession. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. If we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, we'll be healed. And for me, it's almost like we're making this declaration into the spiritual realm about who we are. When we recite this Apostles' Creed, we're reminding the devil that these are the things we believe. So let's recite this together, and I encourage you to verbalize that in your homes. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I want to remind you that that word Catholic in the Creed means universal. I was reading some in the Old Testament this week, and there is a prophet recorded in the Old Testament. His name is Habakkuk. If you're from West Texas like me, I've pronounced that Habakkuk all these years, and I've done that wrong. I got Google to tell me how to actually pronounce that prophet's name. So Habakkuk was the prophet, and Habakkuk received a pretty strong word from the Lord, a promise from him that wasn't very encouraging. That he was going to allow an army, the Babylonian army, to come and capture the city of Jerusalem and carry everybody, a lot of the people, off into captivity. And when they captured Jerusalem, it was not a pretty thing. They would lay siege against that city, and that means they would surround the city. It was a walled city. They would cut off all commerce coming in and out. They would stop any water flow to the city, and they would basically starve the people until they surrendered or they were too weak to fight. And this was coming. And looking at the timeline of that prophecy, it looked like that might have happened 2 years later. And they were eventually taken into captivity some 20 years later. And Habakkuk was just sitting around waiting for that to happen. He had a strong, very discouraging word from the Lord. He had to pass it on to the people. So in the latter part of Habakkuk, this is his response in regard to what's coming. He said, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there be no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. He knew difficult times were coming. He knew there wouldn't be any food, there wouldn't be any animals left to sacrifice. But he made a decision. He said, even though these things are happening, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. So church, this morning, I want you to think about this phrase, even though. Even though coronavirus was in our city, we found out this week, it's active, it's alive. And 1-2 confirmed cases, there's probably more. Even though that's happening. Even though you may be out of a job right now, even though there's no income coming in, even though you may be ill, even though you may have a cancer diagnosis hanging over your head, even though, plug in whatever you're struggling with, even though this is happening, I want to encourage you this morning to make the choice to rejoice in the Lord. Make the choice to be joyful, because we have that ability. We have the mind of Christ. We can do that. We've been given this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit that can rise up inside of us and bring joy in situations that are absolutely dire. God's still on the throne, church. Nothing's going to change that. Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I want to encourage you this day, choose joy over despair. Choose joy over frustration. Choose joy over discouragement and rejoice in the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you that we have the ability to choose joy. We thank you that we have the ability to rejoice in who you are. And so, Lord, for some of us this morning, that may be incredibly difficult. We may be looking at our bank account that is dwindling. Lord, we go to the grocery stores and there's still empty places where items are that we have bought in the past, and it could be discouraging. It could be something that just causes us to stumble. But Lord, I'm grateful that you're for us, you're not against us. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And Lord, I'm grateful that through that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose joy, that we can rejoice. So Lord, bless people in their homes this morning. Bless those that are watching this, listening to this. Stir hearts this morning, God, where we know without a doubt that we've met with you, for you are the God of our salvation. Lord, I just want to pray against this illness. I want to pray against this virus. Lord, I just pray, God, that you maybe send strong angels down just to lift that off the earth and encourage your bride, Father. Bring many to Christ during this time, those people who feel like they're hopeless. Draw them to yourself. As we exalt Jesus, Lord, draw people to him. God, we love you for who you are. And we praise you. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Say this with me, church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Hello. Need your mic. Need your mic.
The Holy Spirit is with us, and I promise you He is here. And I pray that He is right there in your home with you. By the way, before I start into the sermon this morning, I want to thank all of you who sent me the tannin cream for my legs last week. That was very thoughtful of you. Put that to good use. I promised my wife that there would be no more of that. So, glad that you're here. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read in just a moment, we're going to read beginning in verse 24, but I want to, the very first word in the scripture that we're going to be reading from in 24 is therefore. And if you remember, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to go back and see what it's there for. So I want to set this scripture up a little bit. It's so cool. If you look in your Bible, if you have a red letter Bible especially, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are, except for four verses, those three chapters are all the words of Jesus. They are what we have come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the first two verses of those three chapters basically says Jesus went up on a hillside and He began to teach. And then the last two verses of those three chapters basically say that the people were so amazed that Jesus taught the way He did with someone with authority and with power. But in between those four verses, we see Jesus teaching. And I encourage you to go and read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But I want to, the things that Jesus had taught on the Sermon on the Mount, the nine Beatitudes. Now, what we know is the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. There's nine of those. And then He talks about us as Christians being salt and light. He talked about how He was fulfilling the law. He talked about anger and lust and divorce and seeking revenge and loving your enemies and giving to the needy. It's kind of almost like Jesus is teaching us how to live a Christian life. He taught about prayer, fasting, greed, fear, and anxiety. Perhaps maybe we should read that this coming week. He talked about judging others. He talked about living fruitful lives. All of those things are Jesus is teaching about in these three chapters as we know them as the Sermon on the Mount. So let's pick it up, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, and Jesus taught all these things, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine, He's talking about if you've heard how to live a Christian life, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So there's action involved. It's not just a theological teaching, but He's saying you need to learn how what I say how to lead a holy life and then put it into practice. So if you do that, if you put it into practice and you hear these words, that it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And Carlene did a wonderful job with the children's sermon this morning illustrating that. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears, now listen, this is important, church. Everyone who hears these words of mine, see, we may have the theological teaching and understanding and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited You. You are here. We ask You now to teach us to speak as only You can with power and authority and truth. May we understand and may our hearts be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So Obviously, we're going through a very uncertain time. It's all over the TV and news and newspaper and internet. It's all around us. And as Billy mentioned earlier, all you have to do is try to go get some groceries and see the empty shelves. And so we have lots of fear and uncertainty in our world. Just to kind of name a few things going on, which not as if we aren't aware of these things. A global pandemic, quarantines, economic stress, business disruptions and closings, school closings, job layoffs, devaluation of the stock market, and most importantly, lack of toilet paper. Yes, the crowd is in thunderous laughter right now. Well, in Jesus' time, as he's making this teaching, they had some fear and uncertainty as well. It was maybe a little different, but Israel was an occupied land. They were under Roman rule, which was not a pleasant thing. They had high taxes, and even the taxes that were high, they had corrupt tax system, people that were cheating them through taxes. The mighty were in power. Might makes right. If you were not in the mighty segment of the culture, you were at their beck and call. You were at their mercy. And again, most importantly, toilet paper hadn't even been invented in Jesus' times. So they had plenty of reasons to be fearful and uncertain as well. Today's sermon is Jesus's weather advisory. Jesus's weather advisory. A few years ago, quite a few years ago, it was about 25 or so years ago, before I became a pastor, before I got into ministry, I did computer work, but I also did some home appraisal through the appraisal district. We did both there. And I remember there was a house that was south of town, and I actually went by this weekend and took a picture of it. Lee, can you throw that up there? It was set up on a hill, and I remember in back 25 years ago, it didn't have near as much of the trees and brush that have grown up around it now. And that house was looked so strange because it was just set right. It looked like it was set right on the edge of that hill. And I thought, man, that's pretty hazardous. I mean, I could see the rains and so forth eroding that soil and that house tumbling down the cliff. And the person that I was riding with when we looked at that house said, "Oh no, that house when they built it, they sunk piers." I don't know exactly, but he said maybe 15, 20 feet piers, and they set those piers down until it hit bedrock, and they set that foundation on that bedrock. And 25 years later, that house seems to be doing just fine. So I want us to unpack this scripture a little bit today. I've got some things I believe Jesus is trying to teach us. And the first thing is Jesus says, we are all builders. We are all builders. Either we build on the rock, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So we're either that sort of builder, Jesus says, or we're the other. Or we build on the sand, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, this is what really struck me as I was kind of meditating on this word. Every house looks secure in good weather. As the illustration earlier that Carlene did for the children, both of those houses were sitting, one was on that rock and one was on that heap of sand that she had set up there, and they were both looked good. But when she illustrated the rains coming, one stood firm and one crumbled. But they both looked secure in good weather. Now, so what I hear Jesus saying is we can be fooled that our foundation is sound when things are going really, really well. We may be living the dream. We may have a great job. We may have a great family. We may be popular, a beautiful home, excellent health, lots of money in the bank, a nice 401k, and all those. And we've seen I know that there are some people anxious, you know, watching every day when you look on the TV and you see that the arrow pointing down and the stock market has dropped again. A couple of months ago, we were in the strongest economy we've had maybe ever. And all of a sudden, the storm comes and we realize maybe perhaps our foundation is not as strong as we thought it was. Unless Psalms 127 says it this way, unless the Lord builds the house, and he's speaking of us, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. So we are all builders, and we can be deceived into thinking we have a firm foundation under us when perhaps maybe we don't. Secondly, Jesus says storms will come. He doesn't say maybe, perhaps, someday, maybe the rain will come. He says when it comes. When it comes, storms will come and reveal how strong our house is, speaking of our lives. Notice in verse 25, the rain came. It wasn't if it comes or it was the rain came for the wise man who built on the rock. And in verse 27, the rain came for the foolish man who built on sand. So it's not like if we have built our foundation on Christ, we are exempt from the storm. No, Jesus said, it's coming. But be sure that you have built on this firm foundation. He's saying the foundation of our life needs to be able to withstand the storms that come. And we are in a storm right now. Isaiah 28, 16. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I love that. So we have a choice, how we build our life, what we build our life on, what we trust. I was just thinking some of the examples of sand that we perhaps may build our foundation on that's not going to withstand the storm. And just a few examples are money. If we have lots of money, we may think, man, I'm rocking and rolling. All it takes is a coronavirus. All it takes is a poor diagnosis from the doctor. Another example of sand is the stock market, our own youth and beauty, our reputation, our popularity, our career, our education, our health, our talent. All of these, and these are not in and of themselves bad things. It's not bad to have education. It's not bad to have a good reputation, how you conduct your life. Those are not bad, but when we build our foundation on those things can be sinking sand. There's only one solid foundation. Leading to number three. Jesus is the only foundation that will stand. Everything else can be taken just like that from us. And we're starting to see some of that in this time that we live. Verse 27, for the foolish man who built on the sand, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. For the wise man in verse 25, the rain came. I'm picturing the same storm, exactly the same storm. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So we talk about this, you know, houses and foundations and all that. The foundation that we're talking about is Jesus. We are the house. We are the house that he has given us, that we build. And what foundation do we put that on? He alone, Jesus alone, is the sure foundation for our lives. He is firm. He is trustworthy. I encourage you, church, to build your marriage on him. Build your finances on him. Build your relationships on him. Build your hopes and your dreams on him. Your future on him. Your life on him. And Jesus doesn't just give us this abstract thing. That word therefore, I want to go back to that. He's therefore, and then he starts this teaching on the two different foundations. But before that, he gives us three chapters of how to live our lives, how things should be. And too many times we don't even know what God has to say about these issues in our lives. Read his word. Begin with Matthew 7, 5 through 7. Remember the old great hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So as I pray, I want to invite the praise team to come back up, and we will close with music here in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the solid rock. Everything else in our lives can be taken away from us. Everything else can fail us, but not you, Lord. You've demonstrated that. The very thing that none of us can escape, which is death itself, you've conquered death itself. And because you've conquered death, and because we are in you and you are in us, we conquer death. So even death itself has no hold on us. So I pray now, Father, right through the internet, I pray blessings on the people listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we close with this last song, I want to say this. You should find a button on your screen that says you want to make a decision for Christ. Man, I tell you, you know, in the midst of this, God is busy. He is wooing you. He is seeking you out. He is pursuing you because he loves you. And not because you're a bad person and he wants you to make you a good person. No, because he loves you. So if you want to make that first time commitment for Christ, click on that button. You'll be directed to a site where you'll be able to talk with me or Billy or Brent, and we can talk you through that decision. I pray blessings on you. Trevor? Thank you. things as we wrap up the service today. First of all, and I said this last week and I'll continue to say it, if you need anything, God has not forgotten you, and neither have we at Wiley Methodist Church. You can email me, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org, and if you have a need or if you just need some prayer, any of those sort of things, please contact me, and me or someone else will be getting back with you. We'll try to meet those needs. With that said, I also want to tell you that I met with over 30 pastors via conference call this past week, and one of the subjects we talked about was how do we keep doing ministry financially through this time. And it's interesting, I know some of you maybe are out of work or your work hours have been restricted, and we understand that, and your givings may go away or be reduced during this time. One of the things that struck me, one of the pastors said one of his parishioners that had lots of resources contacted him and said, whatever we are short, whatever we are short from our normal givings, let me know and I'll make it up. So some of us may need to stop giving altogether. And some of us may be like that guy, have the means to say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that we keep doing ministry. We are still, all of the stuff that we normally do is happening. The food pantry, we support foreign missions, local United States missionaries, the houses for healing. We still have lots of expenses. So it's still going on. There's an online button on your screen right now. You can click and give online givings. You can also mail a check to the church. I don't like talking about money, but this is, everything's kind of chaotic right now. So remember, if you need anything, please let us know, and we're going to try with all our heart to meet those needs. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells us so. Hear this benediction. Anyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock, on Jesus. Make your foundation on him, church. God bless you. Have a great week.